Hi, I'm Aislinn Antrim with Pharmacy Times. Welcome to Pharmacy Focus Psychedelic Pharmacy, where we take a look at one of the fastest growing markets in healthcare, psychedelic medicine. This month, I spoke with Kevin Nicholson, CEO of Ketamine Wellness Centers, to learn about the drug's specific uses in PTSD and anxiety, and what this means for the future of mental health care. So before I kind of launch into the questions, can I just get you to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Kevin Nicholson. I am the Chief Executive Officer of Ketamine Wellness Centers and the Chief Operating Officer of Delek Corporation. And background is I'm a registered nurse by trade and have been doing ketamine infusions for mental health and certain types of chronic pain conditions for over 10 years now.
Okay, wonderful. So to kind of get started and get like a baseline of information, can you give an overview of how ketamine is used for PTSD and anxiety?
Sure. Yeah. So ketamine is a dissociative anesthetic. It was FDA approved back in 1970 for use mostly in military as an anesthetic agent. And it is a compound that is powder base form in its original form, but it can be compounded into intravenous, intermuscular, oral, sublingual type of administration routes. We at Ketamine Wellness Centers, we only provide IV therapy with generic ketamine. The Spravato medication, which we'll probably talk about later, is an intranasal medication. But in regards to its use with veterans and PTSD, anxiety, is the medication allows the patients, when it's administered properly in the right setting and at the right dosages, allows patients to kind of separate from the actual trauma itself and reframe the experience and look at it from a different lens. And many of our patients will express that in a dissociative state, their mind and their body are essentially disconnected, and it allows them to be aware of the trauma and the experience, but not have that same emotional tie to it, which then later allows them to process those emotions more responsibly and through a better way, where they may have blocked those emotions previously with a mental health talk therapist and a mental health support person.
Very interesting. That's such a good explanation.
Yeah, we've had some veterans, and I've been blessed that I've had the opportunity to sit in with these men and women of our military. And what they will share will be unique to their own situation, but many of them will basically relay that it feels like the trauma that they experienced is up on a movie screen so that they're aware of it, but it's not directly tied to them anymore. So again, they can get out of that treatment. They can do some processing while they're in there with the clinicians, but also do some additional work outside of the treatment itself.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Can you talk about how it works biologically? What in the brain, what is it really doing that allows this kind of different lens?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because there's a bunch of different theories about how it works in the glutamate system and activates the brain-derived neurotrophic factor, which is an enzyme that helps to repair the neurons and the synapses between the neurons. And the simplest way I like to explain it, and I like to compare it to traditional SSRIs and SNRIs, is kind of like two shipping ports. So if you have a shipping port across the canal, the cargo ships that go across normally are serotonin, norepinephrine, and they help to communicate feelings and emotions and different things across that channel. With depression, PTSD, and so forth, that channel becomes blocked for whatever reason. So normal transmission of emotions becomes very difficult. So many patients with depression or PTSD will state that everything feels numb or gray because there's not this normal connection. So even by doing additional antidepressants, what that does is put more cargotainers on there. But if that port is still not open, it really doesn't have the same effect. So what ketamine does is it allows this brain-derived neurotropic factor to help repair those ports so that there's an easier flow and connection across those synaptic areas in the brain that are related to mood. You know, different parts of the brain, in the amygdala is responsible for emotion and so forth. So it targets those types of areas to help for more improved flow of emotions. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. How could this be particularly impactful for veterans?
Well, you know, I think veterans, you know, the men and women of our military have given themselves to our country and protected all of us and everything we, you know, we take for granted in this country. And many of them come back with a lot of different trauma and so forth and may or may not be able to be employed, may have physical or mental ailments that are not allowing them to get the help that they need and they deserve. And what the ketamine can provide to them is an option outside of traditional medicines that come with side effects and do come with complications and sometimes don't work. And it provides our men and women in the military an alternative option that will allow them to potentially get the relief they're looking for with little to no side effects. And then ideally, you know, we've been fortunate in our years of doing this that we've now got relationships through Dell Corporation and through KWC that we have contracts with VA systems in a number of our states that we operate in. The Community Care Network, which is a third-party administrator for some of our veterans, as well as TRICARE and TRICARE West, that they're now looking at ketamine as an option for our veterans to be able to help them improve their mental health state, as well as chronic pain if that affliction includes them as well. So it's great that they would not have to come out of pocket, because a lot of our veterans do struggle with fixed incomes and so forth, that that they can get this covered under their veterans benefit packages now.
Yeah, absolutely. Research for psychedelics in general, and including ketamine, had stalled for several decades, kind of since the 60s, but seems to really be returning, and there's kind of this renewed energy around it. Can you discuss a little bit of that history?
Sure. Yeah. When I first started doing the ketamine infusions at a small little clinic up in Scottsdale, we were doing a small little independent research study ourselves. And we knew at that time, and that was about 12 years ago, that the National Institute of Mental Health was doing a fairly large research study on ketamine's effectiveness in mental health, depression, and so forth. And there was a lot of smaller studies that were being done by very large, well-renowned universities and medical settings like Yale and Harvard and Mayo and so forth. But the sample size were really small. So now they've come back and done a meta-analysis on all those smaller samples, and they've concluded similarly that the research shows tremendous evidence of efficacy, up towards the 70 to 80% success rate in patients who are deemed treatment resistant. And what has been interesting is that along with the ketamine has come other therapies, which I give a lot of credence to MAPS in that organization, and pushing, you know, the investigation of psychedelic medications that can help with depression and PTSD, like psilocybin therapy, like MDMA therapy, which we're hoping one of those two options will be FDA approved for proper administration and safe administration in 2023. We had hopes that it was going to happen in 2022, but I'm hearing that we're probably looking at 2023 for MDMA to possibly get FDA approval for use with patients struggling with PTSD.
Okay, very interesting. Where does all of this research kind of currently stand for ketamine? What uses are being investigated, and what do you see for it?
You know, ketamine's a, you know, it's an old compound. So, you know, but they're doing a lot of investigations in it still. They're looking at it, the current generic version for use in Parkinson's, and different parts of that are related to brain affliction and so forth. However, you know, ketamine obviously was investigated by Johnson & Johnson or Janssen Pharmaceuticals. About 2018, they released the ketamine isomer called Spravato, which is S-ketamine, which is FDA approved for treatment of depression, as well as recently got approved for acute suicidality in emergency room settings. So there's that continued momentum in the research. Honestly, with ketamine being out of patent for as many years, I don't see a tremendous amount of research going in its current generic form. But if there's continued research into modifying the current molecule like Janssen did to be able to get additional therapies approved, it's tremendous. And then obviously the research into the other novel compounds that we spoke about with the MAPS folks and the FDA that continues to be ongoing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's so interesting when you, I think a normal lay person, if you mention ketamine, they're like, oh no, that's a drug. But if you mention Spravato, they're like, oh yeah, that's a commonly used thing. And there's just not this understanding that it's the same thing.
Yeah, it's pretty much, it's a mirror image. So, you know, and you're right. There is a huge stigma around ketamine and it's been around for a long time. And, you know, and we tried to educate, I think one of the biggest things that we're doing with Delek and with KWC is really trying to increase the community's awareness about this treatment and it's, you know, and people's concern about it and, you know, dosing and so forth. So, and obviously increasing accessibility for patients.
Have you listened to the array of other podcasts from Pharmacy Focus? We have content for every specialty, including retail pharmacists, technicians, students, and more. In the latest episode of On the Shelf, host Joanna Lewis explored skincare, the importance of a healthy skin barrier, vitamin C, and work-life balance. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
What obstacles are there to this and other psychedelics research, and what work is being done to kind of address these obstacles?
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting, and I know we're probably going to talk about it later, but with the government pushing to have some more investigation into this, I think it really is helping to destigmatize the whole psychedelic nomenclature or, you know, the consideration that psychedelic medicines can be an actual legitimate medicine that does have efficacy when administered responsibly. I think the biggest, you know, obstacles in research is the expense, you know, and the expense that goes into it and all the different requirements around different blinding studies and so forth to make sure. And unless you have exclusivity, you know, for somebody to put $50 to $100 million into a research grant that they're going to have to share with everybody is going to be, there's going to be a reluctancy on the pharmaceutical side. But I think, you know, with continued education, insurance reimbursement, you know, as more of these insurance carriers, especially the VA system, I'm amazed and I'm proud that they're actually looking at this for our men and women of the military, because I never thought I would see that day come because of its essentially off-label use. They are approving it and allowing us to treat these people. And with that will come more data. You know, the more that we can generate data, the more that we can do research into what medicines are effective, maybe what medications patients are currently on that might be limiting their effectiveness with these novel compounds, only those things will help those obstacles be lessened.
Definitely. You just kind of touched on this a couple minutes ago, but with regard to the use for veterans specifically, mm-hmm. are there government efforts to really research this and push for this?
You know, the, again, the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Dan Crenshaw are both pushing forward a bipartisan bill for research in the House, which I'm excited to see that moving forward. It means it's got traction. The federal, I don't know whether or not the military federal agencies are looking at this, or this will be independent research grants that will be going out to individual corporations to research additional therapies and or treatment options or creating new novel compounds. But I think the best part of this, that it has traction at a government level, goes back to the stigma around these other options for people who are struggling, where traditional medicines are not effective. And if they can see some light at the tunnel in regards to this being passed through Congress and getting some funds to be able to, or some permissions to research these medications that have historically been Schedule One, and be able to do independent research and get it out there, it gives people hope. And that's really important.
Absolutely. Separate from the research process and kind of for patients as individuals, there are obstacles such as, you know, access, you mentioned cost earlier, all of these things can kind of be challenges. Can you discuss these and kind of what's being done to address them?
Well, one of the things that we're doing, and one of the reasons we partnered with Delek Corporation, is to increase accessibility of these clinics that provide these types of treatments into more and more areas that that need this type of treatment, you know. And our goal is to not just be in the high end areas of the, you know, different cities and countries, but be able to be in different areas of different cities and so forth, so that there is access, you know, clinics. When we first started doing these treatments, we were maybe one of six companies that were doing these types of treatments with ketamine in the United States. And we had patients coming in from everywhere across the United States, as well as including other countries like France, and had patients in from Canada and Peru and all over the place. But unfortunately, you know, the ketamine treatments, for most of the patients, it does require some ongoing therapy. There is ongoing maintenance. And accessibility to clinics to be able to get your ongoing treatment, whether or not it's intramuscular, intranasal, intravenously, you need to be able to have that access to those facilities. And what we're looking to do is increase our clinic footprint throughout the United States under the Delek Corporation umbrella, so that we can have more of a footprint for people, have more contracts. A lot of the third-party payers like to do contracts with larger organizations such as ours, so that they can have a consistency of different billing types and know what the cost will be and so forth, as opposed to independent facilities where it might be a little more difficult to have those claims being processed in the same fashion. So I think, again, increasing the availability regarding clinics, but also increasing the insurance coverage will help to increase the ability for veterans and all individuals to get this access no matter where they live.
Sure. It sounds like partnerships will really kind of be key for all of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, and now we're looking at, even though we have probably, in my last time I looked at it, we probably were at 300, 400 clinics nationwide. Some of them are bigger organizations, some of them are a little bit smaller, you know, with different doctors that are doing it, you know, independently of their private practice and so forth. And none of them are right or wrong. You know, it's just, we need to make sure that we have the system set up and that we're consistent in how we're providing this treatment across the line.
Absolutely. Well, where do you see all of this research and the future of ketamine treatments going?
Well, it's exciting. You know, like I said, I started doing these treatments 10 years ago and we only had one clinic, and we're now 13 clinics in, you know, in nine states. And with, you know, Delek Corp helping us to kind of increase the awareness and doing that education and access, I think with the other novel compounds that are coming out, with psilocybin therapy, MDMA therapy, continued education, accessibility to these treatments. The thing that's most exciting to me is that historically, ketamine was really only seen as a last ditch. So if you tried and failed other therapies, psychiatrists might look at it and say, hey, you know, you might want to consider ketamine. And we were in the same boat as maybe electroconvulsive therapy or transcranial magnetic stimulation. Now we're seeing it more as a more of a first line consideration for people who may not want to try traditional medicines. And then the other exciting thing, obviously, is just seeing more and more people getting this treatment, being able to get it covered under their insurance. And then with the other research coming in, as those other novel compounds come in, we can use data to maybe utilize multiple modalities to treat these patients. So we may stabilize a patient with a ketamine infusion, but may transition them on to psilocybin therapy or MDMA therapy for their PTSD and their ongoing mental health, or so a combination of a number of different options for that patient.
Very interesting. I hadn't heard kind of about that option before. That's really interesting.
Yeah, because, you know, the psilocybin is really great with ongoing depression and anxiety, but, you know, depending on the research, what we hope to do is be able to, if we know that we have a good stabilization process with the ketamine, maybe we might be able to tailor that program specifically for them. So
definitely, that makes perfect sense. Is there anything you want to add? Anything that, you know, I didn't think to ask about?
No, other than we're excited. We're the largest provider of this treatment throughout the United States. We are expanding again in the fourth quarter of this year, probably opening at least one or two more clinics this coming year. And we're hoping that as things continue to evolve and we continue to grow, more and more people will reach out and ask this question and just become more educated, so that if they have a loved one who's either in a military or a first responder or somebody who's struggling with traditional medicines, you know, there is other options out there. There is hope, there is help is kind of our, you know, catchphrase when it comes down to people who are struggling with mental health and have kind of given up on hope. There is, again, a lot of options out there for them.
Thanks for listening to Pharmacy Focus, Psychedelic Pharmacy. Tune in next month to hear more about the field of psychedelic medicine.